It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
All right, let's play another episode of What is Wrong with Tony's Brain. So you are, I am assuming, familiar with Singing in the Rain.
The song or the movie?
Or both? Or the play that I believe the movie was based upon. I believe it was a musical theater, I think. Oh.
Well, I don't know. I didn't know that.
But yes, I might be wrong. But yes, I am speaking of the song of that title within the movie of that same title, sung by, I believe, Fred Astaire,
Gene Kelly.
Gene Kelly. All right. No. An old dead person. Old dead white guy. It seems silly at this point to refine the question, given how many bits you've given me back. But I assume you are familiar with this all.
Yep.
All right. Do you know all of the song? Like, could you theoretically sing the whole song?
No. Nope.
Neither could I. How much of the song do you believe you could sing?
A very little.
Same.
Singing in the rain, singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling. I'm happy again. That's probably about it.
Same. I don't remember where I get it from, and it's entirely possible that I'm wrong. In my head, the very next line is, I'm ready for love.
That sounds right.
And I think I have the tune for that, which is similar, but a little different. So I am also in the same place as you. Although for some reason, I think I know the melody of the second set of lines, even though I only know that first line. And it's slightly different from the first, just in a couple of chord changes, but similar. But I think I have that in my head too. Now, I bring this up because I have a tendency to get songs in my head of certain rhythms and meters as they relate to my walking.
Sure.
I'll be walking a certain pace and a song. And it's fascinating because it teaches me what rhythms and what patterns I walk at, and also what songs have similar ones. So common ones for a long time when I would be walking, for some reason, would be the theme from The Odd Couple and the theme from Doogie Howser, M.D. I don't know why.
I remember that one.
There's there. But Singing in the Rain is one that happens. And in my head, go along, I'm singing in the rain. I'm singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling. I'm happy again. And then my brain sings the second verse, quatrain, stanza, in what I think is the correct tune, but whose lyrics are the second verse, quatrain, stanza, of Away in a Manger. The stars up above look down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on a hay. So my question to you is, what the fuck? Because it's not like it happened once. It happens. Like, I thought about talking about this on the podcast, I'm going to say 3 days ago. It's probably happened 5 times since then. It happens a lot.
I've experienced a thing where you've got one song in your head, and then it sort of segues into another song.
But
that's a full segue. It's not like
the whole melody and everything.
Yeah, the whole thing.
That happens to me a lot. This is still Singing different. In the Rain.
Yeah.
But the just so we're clear, both Singing in the Rain and Away in the Manger, neither of them are my jam.
I'm
not a big fan of either of these songs.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not listening to them regularly in the Apple Tunes. Like, I don't know what. And I mean, I assume it's similar. So there's the phenomenon we may have talked about this before. Because of the meter, the songs Yellow Rose of Texas and Gilligan's Island, you can sing either of them to the tune of the other one. And you can use either tune and sing any Emily Dickinson poem. Because I could not stop for death, it finally stopped for me. The carriage held but just ourselves and immortality. And immortality is something I learned in college.
She doesn't repeat it like that, does she?
No,
you threw that part in yourself.
Yeah. Just to get the vibe.
Vibe.
But yeah. So,
know that.
So,
that's interesting.
Yeah, this is a thing I learned in college, not like in a class, just from people in college. And Yellow Rose of Texas is the same thing. Yellow Rose of Texas is the only gal for me. I don't remember the next lines of the song, but it's probably something about a tree. I don't know. But yeah, it works. So I feel
I learned in college that if you go to Texas and you stand outside and you say, the stars at night are big and bright, everyone will stop and go, deep in the heart of this. That's what I learned.
So this leads me to one of two conclusions. One, you first saw Pee-wee's Big Adventure in college.
Yeah, I did.
Or two, you think you're Pee Wee Herman, and I might believe you.
It's so funny if it was true, though, right? Like, I just feel like if I ever visit Texas, I'm gonna try it. And maybe I'll die. Maybe it'll be the last thing I ever do. Someone in Texas would shoot me in the face for doing it?
I mean, I think someone in Texas would shoot you in the face for sneezing. Nothing to do with you, just Texas. But I mean, there's a lot of people there, so statistically, you probably won't sneeze in front of that person.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, yeah, there's a roll of the dice doing anything in Texas. So yeah, I don't know.
Somehow what you're saying is connected to you doing the.
I feel like if the meters are similar, because I do feel, and I might be wrong, I feel like I'm getting the melody right to Singing in the Rain in that second one. Maybe not even that, but I feel like I am. And I know I'm getting the lyrics right to Away in the Manger, which is a sentence I never expected or wanted or imagined, I would say. So it's just weird. I mean, I don't know. I didn't have anything else for the open, so I just wanted to bring this up.
The thing about Away in the Manger is I've probably heard like 10 different versions of that tune. Like,
well, and this actually doesn't work because you can't go backwards. You can't go, I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling. I'm happy again. I lied. You can. You absolutely can. What is happening? What is anything?
I don't know.
This is insane. This is already the best musical episode we've ever had by a long shot.
Have we ever had a musical episode before?
I mean, we've had episodes with singing.
Oh, we have?
And they've, I sing all the time.
Okay.
And it's always been trash.
Oh.
But you, this time you learned something. We don't know what you learned. But that's, this is how education should be. People are going to say something in front of you and be like, there's the lesson. We don't know what it is, but it's somewhere in there. Figure it out. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. The only podcast that keeps mixing up Fred Astaire, Gene Kelly, and the baby Jesus. I'm Tony.
I'm William, and this is episode 543.
I mean, you looked hesitant, and I was about to punch my screen.
I was. I'm always a little hesitant.
I'm like, we just talked. I mean, to be fair, I filled your head with Away in the Rain, singing in a manger. So, I mean, I guess that's fair. That does scramble the brains a bit.
A little bit.
That's how you scramble. That's how you scramble things. For those of you just joined, this is a part two. I'm not going to bother. Listen to the previous episode to find out how the show works. It's a lie, but you know, it gives you some structure to hang the rest of your perception on. So, as this is being released, it depends on when I choose to release it. The day this goes out is the day you're having your big deal.
Well, I'm having a heart catheterization as a precursor to my big deal. I don't know when my heart surgery is.
Yeah, no. I consider a heart catheterization a big deal also.
Kind of a big deal, but I mean, there's a risk associated.
Especially because I have some weird connotations with the word catheter. And it's a long way from my heart to the only place I've ever had a catheter.
Well, this is the second time I've had to deal with a catheter, and that one was also it was in my brain. So brain catheterization, heart catheterization. I never have the other kind.
You probably don't feel anything, right?
What?
I'll tell you right now, having a catheter removed from your urethra, very uncomfortable. I imagine having it inserted also does, but I was fortunate in that I was already out cold when they did that part. But it's not fun. But is this a general anesthetic deal?
This is going to be like the brain catheterization and the heart catheterization. Both are, I'm awake.
Yeah. I meant the big one.
Oh, I suppose so.
Then you'll probably get the other kind.
Probably. I hope not. I wish not. Or if it were to, I would hope that the whole thing would happen while I'm asleep.
Right.
But yeah.
Which it may for you. In my case, we were dealing with a lot of nerves in my spine. So they sort of had to make sure things worked before that. So that may not be the case for you.
Yeah, the brain catheterization and the heart catheterization is there is an anesthetic, but you're still awake.
Yeah.
Although you're not awake in a way where you really remember anything. Like, I don't think I'm going to remember the procedure or whatever.
Probably similar to when I had the laughing gas for dental surgery. I do this because that was what I did on the laughing gas, is I looked at my hand and went, and that was the moment at which I realized drugs are cool.
Yeah, you told that story.
Yes. So do drugs, kid. Or as Daniel O'Brien says in one of the OPCDs that I love, he's like, now I just want to make it clear so anybody doesn't think I'm advocating anything. I do not suggest anyone do drugs unless you want to. I don't care. And I always figure that's the best PSA. So, this should have been a normal week, hopefully for me, and hopefully a pretty straightforward, quick and painless deal for you. And yeah, so let's question. We only got one last time, so let's get a bunch.
Why not? We can do it.
The little Lord Jesus. This is from Mick the Knife. Haven't heard from Mick in quite a while.
I'll have to tell him.
This question has been abridged. This wouldn't be a problem in the new version of the hat that we're doing, but for the moment, the hat was like, I ain't fitting that on a goddamn card. It says, I didn't like The Last Jedi. Does that make me a bad person?
No, of course not. Lots of people didn't like it.
A ton of people didn't like it.
I mean, I liked it all right, but I mean, it's just a matter of taste, obviously.
I would say it is my favorite of the new trilogy. At a guess, for the same reasons Mick didn't like it. I thought it cut through the bullshit that is the Skywalker saga in Star Wars. In my opinion, the plot line of the Star Wars films are the worst part of the Star Wars universe. Oh, this does bring up a correction, though, I need to make. I have long stated that Star Wars names are the dumbest. I'm not correcting that. That is absolutely true. However, my prime example of that has always been that a character in episode 2, I think, who in a club of some sort on Coruscant attempts to sell death sticks to Obi-Wan. And Obi-Wan says, you don't want to sell me death sticks. You want to go home and rethink your life, I believe is what he says.
Pretty sure. Yeah,
and that drug dealing character has a name canonically. Yes. And I have always said that name is Ellen Sleazebagio. And recently it came up somewhere and it turns out I was incorrect. That character's name is not Ellen Sleazebag. Ellen is E-L-A-N, however you want to pronounce that. Sleazebagio. It is in fact Ellen Sleazebagano. So, correction there. Sorry about that. Doesn't take away from my point at all.
No, it doesn't really.
I want to keep it 100, as they say.
So,
as the kids said a few years ago.
What about this? One thing that interests me about his question is just the whole notion of good person, bad person, based on liking a thing or not liking a thing. I mean, where does that come from? The idea that the quality of a person comes, I don't like this, so I'm bad, or I don't like this because I'm good. I mean, that doesn't make any sense, does it?
No, not at all. In a circumstance like this, knowing Mick to the degree that I do, and knowing the phenomenon that occurred when Last Jedi happened.
Okay. Sure.
Sometimes you find yourself in a position where you're like, I have a wholly subjective opinion about this piece of art / media based on some personal things for me and how it made me feel.
Sure.
I happen to share this opinion with a very large and vocal number of absolute shitheads.
Okay.
So now I am concerned. Am I a shithead? And the answer is, well, possibly. It depends on some other aspects. But in and of itself, no, you are not a shithead.
Yeah, right. Okay, that. Sure,
Obviously, if you get into the sexism, the racism, and all of that shit, then you're a shithead. But based on what I presume is a thing from, I think Mick is quite the Star Wars fan, and how a lot of what I heard of, like, serious Star Wars fans who didn't seem to be shitheads dislike this movie. No, you're not a bad person at all. You start to become a bad person if you try and make that belief the reality around you. If you try and say, somebody should be arrested for having made this film. I'm going to kill the people who made this film. This has retroactively destroyed the Star Wars everything. And just to pull a random example out of the air, let's all earn money and make a good version instead so that we can throw away this terrible version and never see it again.
And it never happened.
Then you are edging into shithead territory. Because you're free to believe and feel whatever you want. It's putting it on other people that becomes a problem. If you really believe that this film was bad enough that it, like, has created a social crisis that needs to be fixed, you might not be a shithead. You are a fucking crazy person. Because Star Wars is some fake stories. And you can love those fake stories. You can draw a lot of life lessons and perspectives from those stories. But they're not the world. We should not be legislating based on Star Wars or policing based on Star Wars. None of that. And also, people can, in the same way that you can feel however you want about that movie, that also means that other people can like that movie, like me. And you don't have to murder them, threaten them with death or rape or anything else. You can just disagree with them.
So it seems like
that's fine.
It seems like the pattern.
If I felt the way I feel like a lot of these people felt about the previous Star Wars movies, I could understand not liking Last Jedi. Very much so. I don't feel that way about the previous movies, and I very much liked Last Jedi. I also think I sort of took different things away from it, but
sure. The pattern I see with this kind of thing, though, is again, when I see someone react to, like you're talking about, but it's not just Star Wars movies. It's like any given thing where a person following the thing, the event, the Twitter comment, whatever it is, they insist that their subjective experience of that thing is the reality, and everybody has to sort of bow down to whatever that is. The pattern seems to be people taking certain things very personally. Like, this was a personal attack against me, maybe, and people like me, whatever it is. And
the classic phrase, raped my childhood, which is such a fun phrase, people. Let's use it more often. It combines two great things together. Who doesn't love that?
Yeah, the hyperbole is a huge aspect of this. So the question comes up for me often is, why are people taking these things that definitely aren't personal? These people don't know you. They don't have any reason to consider you and whatever they've done or not done, whatever their idea or comment or behavior is. And besides that, by the way, many times, sometimes the things that people are complaining about are related to systemic issues, but we call them systemic issues for a reason, because it's the system that we need to be thinking about how to, individual people on Twitter or who've directed a movie or whatever it is, that's not that you're going to, you gain nothing. You pushed the discussion forward. Not at all with all this personalized, oh, you're attacking me. I'm attacking you. Yeah. It's all,
and
you know,
like a good example in this one is people have discussed that, the first six Star Wars films don't do super well with women.
Race or
anything. In terms of, or race, in terms of representation, in terms of characterization, in terms of a lot of stuff. And I think there's a very strong argument for that. But the people who argue that point, very seldom do they either say, like, these films have caused my life personal difficulty in a way for which I demand reparation.
Yeah, right.
Or we should get rid of these films or remake these films or ban these films.
In fact, usually they love them.
In a lot of cases, yes.
Yeah, in a lot of cases, they love these movies. They just know they're problematic, you know.
Yes.
You can love something and acknowledge it's problematic at the same time. So why personalize it? I don't understand.
Meanwhile, I think I have been pretty open about the fact that I think Rise of Skywalker was a war crime, and that everybody associated with it, including the actors, some of whom I really love, should be murdered publicly in the streets, their heads hung on pikes, because it was such dog shit. However, I say that because I have a podcast. In reality, I'm fine if other people liked it. I don't think there needs to be one to replace it, anything like that. And it's quite possible, here's a fun one, that if I rewatched it in a different frame of mind, I seriously doubt I would like it, but it might not be as bad for me. I've had a lot of films that I have felt strongly about and then later watched them a second time and realized it's not true, both good and bad.
Yeah, right. Me too.
And yeah, but to answer your question, there's two primary reasons I can think of why people have that reaction. One is the very, very, very obvious one, which sadly is very, very, very common. Lack of empathy. I don't think about other people in this. I think about how it impacted me, and impacted me badly. And given that this whole movie is only an issue about impacting me, because that's all I think about, it is a tragedy of epic proportions that this hundreds of millions of dollar movie impacted me, the only one who matters, so much.
That's delusional, right? I mean,
it's not that explicit, but it's obviously they don't believe that as articulated, but it's all that they think or care about when they are considering opinions, except possibly people that agree with me. But the other one that is trickier and more understandable is how much of a thing, in this case Star Wars, is tied into your personal identity. How much of you as a person, and when you think like, what kind of person am I, how much of Star Wars fan is part of that? And in all properties, that can be a big thing. I've had that myself in a lot of properties. Star Wars in particular, there's a ton of them. There's a ton of people whose definition is based around their love of Star Wars. Maybe not entirely based around, but largely. And so when Star Wars, because again, Star Wars is a thing. All of it's Star Wars. So when Star Wars fucks up, at best, that is an injury to myself, my sense of self, my identity, because it now contains this blemish. At worst, it's a genuine crippling effect that now my identity has to include this thing that I find repulsive because it's part of Star Wars and Star Wars is who I am. And so I have to. So then the desire is, could we make that not Star Wars? And then my identity would feel better. We could replace it with something that wasn't a blemish, in my opinion, that doesn't hurt.
It seems like, though, our culture has a very unhealthy understanding of and interaction with the concept of identity. Like
100%. And do you know why? And why it's not getting any better? Because if I identify myself as a Star Wars fan, I spend a ridiculous amount of money on Star Wars stuff.
Okay. And so you think that the process of doing that really digs deep into a person and makes them irrational about this stuff?
It can. And the powers what is, in this case, Disney, really want that to happen. They encourage that. They advertise
that's
based
for sure,
around
yeah.
that. They reward that time and time again. They are telling you, be one with the Force. And then you're like, that bit of Force sucks. And now I'm stuck being one with it. You assholes. And I understand that. I'm not saying I hold that view, but I understand how you get there because Disney's been telling you. I felt twinges of it in aspects of the MCU. Not enough that I would rave about it online or request that the MCU retroactively alter some shit. But I've had that in moments where I'm like, oh man, you let down the whole series. And my back of my brain is like, and by extension, me. No, so that's a thing. But you are not Star Wars. None of us are Star Wars. George Lucas isn't Star Wars. He may be stuck being viewed that way forever, but George Lucas has done a lot of other shit. He's also Indiana Jones.
Well, more to the point, lots of other people have done Star Wars besides George Lucas.
Lots of other people. I'm very proud of the cast in this new trilogy not letting themselves be defined by it. Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, Oscar Isaacs. They are very assuredly we're not going to remember them as that character from Star Wars. Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, never could get away from it. Harrison Ford kind of did, but mostly he just figured if I do enough iconic things, then everybody will see me as a different thing. He did a lot of different Star Warses. And so I'm pleased with them for that. And we all should be that way. I've said it before, I say Star Wars is a mixed bag, people. And it's also huge, so huge. I really think you should start cherry picking the stuff you like from it.
Oh, I agree. Totally agree. I mean, there's like, as I've often said, you can be a huge, hardcore, really dedicated Star Wars fan without ever seeing the films because there's so much outside of the films. Some of it's really good. And then if you see the films after you become a fan through all those things, you'll go, oh, really? This is how some people become Star Wars fans because of the films? That's weird.
I mean, you still need the self-awareness of that's what you're doing or else conversations with others on the topic get confusing.
Right.
I know this because I have had MCU conversations with people who read a lot of fan fiction. And they will forget what things were fan fiction and what weren't. And they're like, or they'll even say, like, see, it's interesting you feel that way about that character because I've always seen them as this way. But that's probably because I've read a lot of fan fiction that writes them this way. And I'll be like, yeah, no, the stuff I've seen is not backed up what you're saying at all. Like, as far as I know, that dude is straight. That's usually where it comes up. Let's be honest. So that's kind of thing, but it's also Star Wars is not about you. You can take what parts you want, this is not specific to Star Wars. Essentially no media is perfect, but no media universe the size of Star Wars is going to be anything but mixed. It couldn't be. There's too much shit from too many different places over too many years from too many different perspectives and under too many different constraints or lack of constraints for it to ever be anything but.
Well, I think that's true about a lot of things.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Anything of that scale.
Right.
And even fairly smaller scales like that. People like to toss around the phrase a perfect movie. And I kind of get it now. I mean, obviously, semantically, it's bullshit. But I kind of get there's certain things where you're like, this movie, everything falls into place to do what this movie was going to do, which is this. And you can sort of say that in certain things. And I've even had people say that about movies and then gone on to describe all the shit that was wrong with it. But that movie had a certain purpose in their mind and it did that perfectly. But pretty quickly, everything's a mixed bag. And in a series, you're always going to have that. Every TV show is going to have an episode that sucks. Every series of movies is going to have, let's be honest, a lot of episodes that suck. Jedi was arguably my favorite of the original trilogy. Jedi's a mess. Jedi's got so many issues. I still love it. I still have a lot of fun with it, but this is a mess. And I think this might be another component, the whole keeping conflicting ideas in your head at the same time. There are so many problems with Star Wars. You can still really enjoy it while acknowledging those problems. Yeah. It doesn't have to be all things to all people. So the only issue I see here is that you feel not liking a movie somehow makes you a bad person. It doesn't ever. The only time that's a thing is if you like Sucker Punch and then you're dead to me.
The closest I've ever come to this is I've thought about, you know, as DC new DC movies come out, and I've thought about, so if I wear my Superman t-shirt out in public,
they think you're going to snap somebody's neck.
Yeah.
And
the thing is, Superman and Batman and even Wonder Woman are so, you know, one movie is not going determine how everybody sees you as someone who's wearing a t-shirt like that.
There will be some dumbasses on the street though who see you and say, yeah, Superman, what the fuck, he snaps on his neck. Spoilers for Man of Steel, by the way, whatever. Do I think this is a genuine harm, this piece of media is a genuine harm to society such that I do not want to support it in any way? And in that case, don't spend money on it. And you can tell your friend, I didn't like, I mean, always, you know, people like, what do you think? I thought it sucked. That's fine. But here's the thing. Rise of Skywalker is worse than Hitler. I am not withholding my financial support from Disney or the Star Wars franchise because of that movie. I don't think the Rise of Skywalker is ruining the world. But there are stories and films and things like that that I'm like, this is horrific in a way that I think is detrimental to society. And I do not want to support this filmmaker in any further activities. It doesn't come up often. Frequently, it's a really disingenuous documentary is when that kind of shit comes up. But by and large, with movies, no.
Do you think you and I feel this way about this type of stuff? Because we're so, one thing we have in common is we're so reluctant to kind of join up with any kind of, you know, organized or a fandom or a party or a faction. I mean, we might go, we might like it, we might support it to some degree, but we're reluctant to really go all gung-ho in things like this. Both of us are.
I think it helps us. But the real reason I think you and I feel that way is because I think most people feel that way. I think most people are like, I hated that movie. The end.
I think you're right. I hope that's right.
I think there is a very vocal minority that freaks the fuck out in both directions. Like this retroactively murdered my grandparents, or this movie has guaranteed me a place in heaven. Those are the two extremes I can think of. Witnessing this movie has guaranteed me a place in heaven. And I think those people are very loud. And I don't, for the record, I don't think Mick is one of those people.
I think Mick
is a person who hears those people and is like, shit, does that mean I'm like, if I share an opinion about a movie with these people, does that mean I'm one of these people? Not by that token, no.
Right.
You can just not like a movie. There are a lot of movies I don't like. And the older I get, the more I don't just like or dislike anything. I'm seeing the level. Like, I'll watch something and I'll be like, I really enjoyed that. Even though blah, 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 blah. Or I'll watch something and say, this part was good. This thing was good. But in general, it was crap.
Yeah.
I mean, I talked about The Watch, that stupid comedy about the neighborhood watch and the aliens. Movie was not good. Mm-mm. But I kind of knew what kind of movie it was. And I got myself in the right headspace, which always sounds like I got high before I watched it. I didn't. But I was in the right headspace for like what was coming. And I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Sure.
And there are other movies that I'm like, this movie sucked. And later I'm like, I was just not in the right place. When I look at it now, it's pretty good.
Do you think if people just ignored social media responses to things more, that they'd just be happier? Like, I think people take too seriously stuff. It's social media trends and stuff like that, because those trends are controlled by such a small group of people, and everyone gets convinced that it's not a small group of people. It's like everybody, and they're wrong.
And everybody gets a voice, and everybody gets to know everything. No, I do, and I'm in a situation right now, pissed off, because I got tricked again. The need for the dopamine hit got me. YouTube was like, hey, here's a video of a British radio host, and a dude calls in talking about how cool Trump is and gets so knocked down by this guy that he hangs up because he's scared to talk to him. And it's only 3 minutes long. Do you want to check that out? And I was like, yeah, I'm in the mood. What the hell?
Do you
want to
check that out?
Let's do it. And so I watched it. I'm like, eh, it's all right. Yeah. And then YouTube was like, hey, you checked that out yesterday. We got that same guy. And somebody calls in complaining about people kneeling during the national anthem. And he just, do you want it? And I'm like, oh, this one's like 6 minutes. I'm like, fuck. I kind of don't, but I'm going to watch it. And I watch it and I'm like, I didn't feel as good about that. But I mean, it's still kind of. And now YouTube's like, oh, fuck, you're into the Schadenfreude. We are going to hook you up. Here are so many videos of people who believe the way you do, totally pwning people who don't believe the way you do. And I'm like, God damn it. Because I want to watch them. I want to watch them all. And I want to feel good about myself because I want to, and I want to find them funny. And every time I'm really interested, and the more I watch them, the more I just feel like crap. But that they get you every time. Dabbling in Schadenfreude or dabbling in sour grapes. It's a genuine neurochemical reaction. And it works either way. If you read something that somebody has the same opinion as you and is really like about it, like it ticks that chemical. And if you read something with somebody who disagrees with you and they just really are into it and you're like, ticks that same chemical. Sucks. And I try to keep myself from it. I view it as another addiction issue and I try to dabble in it very little, but I can't resist sometimes. And sometimes I'm tricked. Sometimes I didn't think that's what it was, but it was. Or if I'm just in the right mood, I like really eat it up. And then I'm like, oh, this is a thing. I should watch more videos of this person. I should listen to this author more. I should look into this topic more. It's not good. It's not good for us. I will say, Mick, you are in a very good position in that the object of your hatred is The Last Jedi, because in my opinion, The Rise of Skywalker essentially said do-over. So you can pretty much pretend none of The Last Jedi happened and you're fine.
Yeah.
Because J.J. Abrams clearly agreed with you. So seems that's a like good it. One. Like, I can't do that with The Rise of Skywalker. Like, that shit happened. But whatever. You know.
Whatevs.
I'm waiting for Star Wars babies.
That's a good say.
It's like Muppet Babies, but it's Star Wars.
I'm oh, yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah.
I'm actually super excited. Genshin Impact, which I'm still kind of playing, is having a crossover event with Horizon Zero Dawn. And consequently, there's going to be a character that everyone's going to get just for logging in the fall of Aloy, done in the little kind of chibi anime style. But as a 5-star cryo-based archer, I believe. And I'm very excited about that. Also, you see the trailer for the video game Stray? I had not. I had heard about somebody's making an open world game where you play as a stray cat. And I'm like, cute. But I've seen games that like simulate being a cat and they're never that, like, it's fun for 3 minutes. And fun. But the other day we're killing time before the food shows up or whatever. And so I'm like, oh, we should actually watch this trailer. And Trish is in the room. I start watching it. Holy shit. This is an open world full-on RPG where you're a cat, not a cat person, not an anthropomorphized cat. You're a cat. You are a cat who is a house cat, and then somehow you've ended up taken from your family and you're in this weird pseudo abandoned city, and you have to get around, and it is peopled by these robot people. And you eventually get a little robot companion that lives in a little backpack you put on. But you're just a cat, and you do cat shit. And it's basically Horizon Zero Dawn, except instead of the wilderness, you're in a post-apocalyptic city. And instead of animals, it's robot people. And also, you're a cat. And I'm so here for this. It looks really good. I'm very excited. It's coming out next
year.
But it's coming out for PS4 and the PS5. Check it out. Stray. Look it up. Looks good. I'm very excited.
Okay.
There's a lot of story going on. Because it's another one of those, like, you don't know what the world is or why it is. And so you figure that out as you go along.
Sure. I like
that. But you still get to do, like, cat shit. So, like, you, like, there's a couch and you hit the button and, like, you scratch on the edge of the couch. Or you can, like, rub up against the legs of the robot people and they'll pet you and stuff. It's all cat stuff. It's pretty cool. I like cats. Cats are good.
Okay.
You never understood cats.
Really?
Why are you so angry about cats? You look, cats need to be remade so that they don't ruin my childhood. You're terrible. Another question. This is from Dave of Eid. What is the hat's favorite donut shop to stop at on the Iowa Donut Trail? Tell me you know what the Iowa Donut Trail is.
I do not.
I mean, podcast over. I don't know what the fuck we do. I also don't know, but did you're the donut know? Guy.
Yeah, if that's a thing, how you're, do I not know? You're also
the
it?
Iowa guy.
Yeah.
Like,
and donuts.
I feel like this should be at the top of the list of things you know in life.
I never heard of it.
Iowa Donut Trail, and then like How to Breathe. Like the next thing.
Can only assume that it's like a route you can drive where you hit all the bakeries, and which I, you know, there's a Kelowna bakery. That's awesome. In Marion County, there's the bakery in Pella that has great donuts. But I mean,
I'm looking this shit up. This is insane.
Iowa Donut Trail. I've never even heard of it.
This is the kind of information that's just supposed to come to us, people. What is happening?
I mean, I guess I'd have to, if there is such a thing, the Kelowna bakery has to be on it. And that would have to be my choice, because that's the only, I mean, unless the trail goes clear to Pella. I like the donuts from that Pella bakery, but I don't know.
Is there any better way to start the day than make a donut run? Iowa has some, this is the onlyinyourstate.com. Iowa has some of the best donut shops on the planet, serving up all the classics your way, whether that means lots of sprinkles, delicate glaze, rich frosting, and sweet, blah, 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 blah. Here's a day trip that will satisfy any sweet tooth and take you to some of the tastiest donut shops in the state.
Okay.
This Iowa Donut Trail will take you to shops in Cedar Rapids, Waterloo, Ames, and Des Moines. It appears first we do Donut Land in Cedar Rapids. Donut Land makes some fucking awesome donuts.
They do. They do. We used to have a Donut Land here.
I used to go when I worked in Cedar Rapids. I would often go to lunch at Donut Land, and I would get, they made some decent sandwiches and they had decent soups, and the daily deal every fucking day was when you buy a sandwich, you get a free donut. So I always had a donut for dessert. It's awesome. Icon Donuts in Waterloo. Never heard of it. Probably because it opened up in 2018. Rockets Bakery in Waterloo. Never heard of it. Van Hemert's Dutch Oven Bakery in Ames.
Oh, I didn't know there was a Dutch bakery up there.
Highland Bakery, which the icon image says Highland spelled H-I-G-H-L-A-N-D, but the article spells it H-I-L-A-N-D. So
that one's correct. It's H-I-L-A-N-D. We've gotten donuts there before, and they're very good, very good.
But the actual image, which can't be seen on here, does it with H-I-G-H? That's weird.
I can tell you is whenever we went, and it, I don't know if I saw it like on the outside or the door or receipts or whatever, or on boxes. It was H-I-L-A-N-D. That's what I remember.
No, I believe you. And this image claims it came from Highland Bakery's Facebook, which is spelled H-I-L-A-N-D. But this artwork spelled it the other way. What is happening?
I wonder if now.
I'm not done with the trail. You got more trail.
Okay. I'm then, familiar with Highland Bakery is what I'm saying.
Second one there. Number six, Choo Choo Donuts in Des Moines. And that's the end of the road trip, which apparently means Iowa City ain't got shit. I mean, I love Daylight Donuts. It is technically a chain, but so is Donut Land.
They used to have a bakery in Iowa City. I don't remember if it had a special name, and they had fantastic donuts. They closed, and I think somehow or other, I was at Coralville Hy-Vee, and a person working in the bakery at Hy-Vee had worked there. Either I already knew that, or somehow I found that out. Mm. And she said, you know, that Hy-Vee bakeries and the like, and, you know, I think Walmart has bakeries and stuff, pushed out smaller bakeries in the area. Now, there's a
for a long time, we had nothing. It was like a thing. Iowa City had zero donut shops, and this was bad. And then Daylight Donuts came in, and everything was good again. And then Hertz Donut came in, and everything was weird again. And then Dunkin' Donuts came in, and we were like, woo! And then I went and had Dunkin' Donuts. And I'm like, it's kind of suck now, actually.
There was a donut land in Coralville for years.
There was. Right around the same spot where there was Long John Silver's in Coralville.
Yes, and I think it did
both of them.
I think it didn't close until after the last time we had flooding here, a big flood. I don't think it reopened. I think that's what closed it.
Yeah, it might have been the 08 flood.
But that donut land was great. It's a great place. But yeah, the Highland Bakery in Des Moines, I'm familiar with it.
I think that has to be our winner, though. That's the Hat's favorite, because the Hat don't know about any of the other ones.
Unless I'm mistaken, I'm pretty sure it's been around for many, many years. And when we got donuts there, I was a kid, actually. I'm pretty sure. Because Dad worked in Des Moines. He worked at Firestone Tire and Rubber, a company in Des Moines. So sometimes we would go drop him off or pick him up. And sometimes it was really early in the morning. So we got to the bakery, you know, before anyone else did, and we got them fresh and hot and very tasty.
I've told you before about the Grinnell College bakery run, right?
I think so. Is there a bakery in Grinnell?
Yes. There is a bakery in the town of Grinnell, or at least there was. Right. For many, many, many years. It was a family-owned bakery. I don't even remember what it's called now. But there's this little bakery in Grinnell. And it opens at 6 a.m., as many bakeries are wont to do.
Correct.
However, at 3 a.m., if you come to the back of the bakery and the back door, you are allowed to go in to the kitchen where there are pans of the fresh-made baked goods, which you can pick up and go purchase at the front and then get the hell out. And this is almost entirely, if not entirely, the college's thing. I don't know how it started, but it's a thing you do as a Grinnell College student if you're still awake and usually drunk. And you're like, it's like 1 a.m. I should go to bed. Or we could stay up long enough to do a bakery run. Yeah, let's do a bakery run. And so then we'll do a bakery run. And it happened many times. It is a rite of passage for a lot of people. The older kids will take the freshmen to do a bakery run. So there's a tendency for the older kids to take the freshmen out the night before classes start to the bar. Which is terrible because all freshmen have a class that starts first thing in the morning on the first day. It's the nature of it. And so it's one of those just like evil things, but it was fun. But frequently part of that is you go on a bakery run and it's the freshest baked goods ever because they literally just got made and they're so tasty.
Yeah, I think probably the best bakery that's close to Iowa City in Coralville is probably the Kelowna. I mean, someone might argue that it's a bakery in Cedar Rapids, and that's about the same distance as going down to Kelowna. But man, the Kelowna bakery is great.
Kelowna bakery is good.
Do you remember when our coworker would bring in, because he lived down there, and he'd bring in Kelowna? Oh my gosh, it was the best. It's the best.
Cinnamon rolls make your head explode.
Now that said,
to be fair, modern bakeries are doing well. Like our grocery store, Hy-Vee Bakery, makes good shit.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Hy-Vee is excellent. So when you say a local bakery is better than them, that's saying something because they make good stuff. Hy-Vee does.
Hy-Vee makes very good donuts. In fact, Trish gets kind of annoyed because if I'm like in the morning, I'm like, I want to get us donuts. I'll always go to Daylight. She likes Daylight fine, but there are certain donuts she really likes at Hy-Vee. And so she's like, are you going to Hy-Vee? I'm like, no, I'm never going to Hy-Vee. I only go to Hy-Vee if I got groceries because it's all the way in the back of the store. Whereas Daylight, there's a freaking drive-thru.
I prefer Hy-Vee donuts to like, I'll go to and have gone many times to Hertz, but I like Hy-Vee glazed donuts just as well. And I like the Hertz and Hy-Vee donuts better than either Dunkin' Donuts or Krispy Kreme. I like Krispy Kreme fine, but it's not my favorite.
It's a different creation. They come up with interesting new things that I get to see advertised, but I don't get to experience, and I'm all sad about that because we don't have them around here.
And advertisements are evil, you said.
Yes. But Krispy Kreme is the one that introduced me to blueberry cake donuts.
Oh, those are good. Those. Yeah.
Everybody has them nowadays, so that's fine. But Krispy Kreme was my first. So the episode we recorded in the Coralville Public Library in the study room secretly, we left there and I said, I'll see you later because I had to go to the bathroom. And I come back out and William's car is still there. And it's right in front. And I'm like, what the hell? And I'm looking and he's not in it. And then I turn my head a little bit because across the parking lot is Hertz Donut. And so I text, you went for a donut, didn't you? But I think young Wilford left his phone at home because I had also sent you text earlier. So it was like the next day I get a text that says, yeah, I did. Because I knew it.
And of course, when you first sent me that, when I first saw the text, my immediate reaction was, I hate being so transparent. I hate that you knew what happened. I mean, you could have thought anything. You could have thought maybe he decided to go get a book. Maybe he, maybe he went, New Pioneer Co-op's not that far away. Maybe I decided to walk there, but no, you knew. You knew I went to get a donut. You knew it.
And this is the problem. This is why.
So predictable.
This is why. No, it's not. But this is why you got too much strategy left here. Because I viewed it as a beautiful expression of our relationship. It was an intimate thing in that.
It was. Sure.
I knew him so well that I'm like, his car is still here. Of all the possible things. That's the one. And when you said, yes, I did, I was like, see, I know him. I know William.
I felt a little bad. Like I'd been caught with my hand in the cookie jar or something.
No. If I hadn't literally wolfed down some McDonald's the moment before we started recording, I probably would have gone to get one myself.
I just walked right over there and got one. Dang it. It was good too. Hertz Donuts are good. They are good. Not my favorite, but they're good.
And they get overly complicated real fucking fast.
Oh, they're like the cookie monster.
Hy-Vee has that problem a little bit too, but I think they've been pulling back a little bit. I think there has been a bit of a backlash to these mountainous donuts covered in wedding cake and shit. Because Hy-Vee, they still have some of those, but they have a lot of more normal. I mean, they're still interesting. Like they don't just have a blueberry cake. They have a blueberry streusel, but it's a blueberry cake with just a bunch of the crumble on it. That's super tasty. Things like that. Also, deep fried croissant that's been glazed. That's crazy. I love it.
Just get a glazed donut, though. I mean, I love glazed donuts, and that's almost, I just get that usually.
And that's something you should feel bad about. We are out of time, people. So this is it for this week. Hopefully next week, or for us 2 weeks from now, we'll try and do another in-person one. We're still working out how that works, but William, as we all know, hates technology, so he's threatened to break his computer with a hammer if we don't record in person, so we'll have to do that. But in the meantime, please write in themagicaltalkingat@gmail.com. With whatever you'd like. I'm sure there was a lot more nuance to Mick's email, almost as though I had read it. I just sense it. A lot more specifications about why he didn't like the movie and what that means. And even potentially a section explaining how he felt about earlier movies in the series for context. A lot of useful information we could have used here. I feel like that Mick seems like the kind of person who would have put that into anything.
Seems like it.
Now's your chance. Not just Mick, all of you, like right in. But also if you've got some take on any of this business, donuts, if you knew about the Iowa Donut Trail and told us, and didn't tell us, don't put that in the comments because we will murder you. How could you not have told us this? This is insane. I didn't get type 2 diabetes to not know about an Iowa donut trail. It's like 3.5-hour drive. We should do it some weekend. You and me, we'll go. Won't get any breakfast or lunch. We'll just have 6 donuts over the course of 3.5 hours. That should be fine.
Nothing will go wrong with that.
I'll take my glucose meter. It'll be fine. But yeah, if you got anything to say about Star Wars or donuts or singing in the manger, Away in the Rain. Away in the Rain sounds like an Australian soap opera. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkingcat.com, and tell us. And then come back next week, and we'll talk about things.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.